It's that time, the Betting Predators podcast, where our main objective is hunting down the best bets for you. I'm your host, Slippy J. You guys can find me on Twitter at SlippyJ_pregame. Joined here by the one and the only golf guru, golf expert, got Uncle Dave in the house. You guys can find him on Twitter as well at Dave_Essler. You guys could always get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. All right, Uncle Dave, here we go. Another Tuesday, another golf podcast. This week we head to Mexico for the Mexico Open. Last year's winner of this event, John Rahm, he returns this year to repeat as champion with plus 260 odds to repeat. Favorite for this event, not a shocker, John Rahm at plus 260. You guys know how we do this. Uncle Dave and I will go ahead. We'll cover first round leaders, make and miss the cut, head-to-heads, top 40s to top fives. And of course, Uncle Dave and I will go ahead. We'll give out our winners. I have a couple specialty props there for you guys as well. Nice little break there for Uncle Dave and I. And you know, we ended up going into the NBA playoffs over the last couple of weeks. So kind of in full swing there, kind of caught up there. Last week we had the match play and that concluded, you know, for those that listen to our podcast, you know, one of the things that Uncle Dave and I always talk about is to check out our Twitters. And last week, Uncle Dave, you went ahead and you took the Twitter and you gave out a few picks. One of them happened to win. What'd you give out? How'd everything shake out for you last week?
Yeah, I only remember the ones that win that I gave out, Sleepy. I mean, come on. Nick Hardy and Davis Riley to win at 40-1, which was kind of a sweet win. There wasn't a lot of drama. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, that might be our biggest ticket so far this year. So maybe we should just skip the bullshit of doing all the podcasts and all the prep stuff and just, you know, off the cuff, here's what I do. I mean, if I can hit 40-1 tickets without doing a lot of work, that's awesome.
Well, I'm not sure our listeners would appreciate that, but hey, 40-1 ticket, nobody's going to complain. And that does happen from time to time. You know, we do have to go ahead and skip a couple weeks. Unfortunately, like match play is something that we normally don't do a podcast on. And I think the other one that we probably skip like for a week would be like the Barracuda, and that's prior to the final major of the year. So, you know, you guys get as many podcasts as possible, but like Uncle Dave and I say, you know, make sure you guys go ahead and continue to check our Twitter accounts each and every week, especially when we're doing the pods. Because Uncle Dave and I will go ahead, we'll give out wagers. And Uncle Dave's a little bit more active with that than I am. But, you know, kudos, Uncle Dave, for going ahead and knocking out a nice winner. So, Uncle Dave, we'll go ahead, we'll chalk that up. Let's go ahead and let's just say we're like plus 45 units on the year after that nice winner. So, with that done and out of the way, let's go ahead, let's get into this week. Uncle Dave, I'm not sure what you think about this field, but it looks rather weak. Obviously, it's a little top heavy with like two guys, Finau and John Rahm. And then it's pretty much it's wide open. So I'm going to let you go ahead and start it here, Uncle Dave, with first round leaders. Who are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty weak field, Sleepy. You're right about that. I mean, I think Rahm and Finau is ranked 1 and 16th. And I think the next lowest ranked guy is Alex Noren at 50th. I think there's only 9 guys that are under being ranked 100th. So there's some big opportunities here. And I can see taking some flyers. And you know, as fate would have it, you know, Rahm and Finau were number 1 and number 2 last year. So, you know, last year it played out as it was supposed to. I think they had a little better field. This week, not so much. And I think that's what you're going to see in a lot of the designated events. Like Harbortown was like a designated event. So the purse was, the winner was like $3.5 million. And I think that's why you saw such a big field there when you normally don't after the Masters. This one's obviously not. And I think all the ones that aren't, you're going to see weaker fields. So I think with that, there's going to be more opportunities. I mean, I'm going to enjoy watching this tournament because Mexico City is 7,300 feet above sea level, which is more than Denver. So you could see a 190-yard wedge this weekend. The balls will fly. But let me digress here. First round leaders, I'm not overly concerned with tee times, but I would prefer guys that do not start on hole number 10. It was the 8th toughest hole on tour last year. It was the only hole last year where Rahm bogeyed. Shots gained off the tee is important. So with that said, I like Gary Woodland. He's perhaps the highest ranked golfer in this tournament since shots gained off the tee. So he's my favorite first round leader at 40-1. Possibly taking him to win at 28-1. When he played well in Augusta, respectable at Harbortown, he's had opening round 68, 69 these last two tournaments. I know that's not elite, but he has had 65s and 66 this season. And my other first round leader is Aaron Rye. It's 55-1. I'd have liked a better number, but it is what it is. Here we are with a weak field, and he does everything well except putt. That's why I can't take him to win. That's probably why he doesn't have a tour win yet. So this will be a feast or famine bet. I mean, he typically either makes the cut and does well, finishes T25 or better, or he just sucks. His first round scoring average is the best of the four rounds. So I think in this field, almost anything's a doable bet. And lastly, if I'm using John Rahm this week, I'm using him as a first round leader at 11-1. I think that's the best place to put him, rather than plus 250 or whatever to win the whole tournament. So there you go, Woodland, Rye, and Rahm, first round leaders.
Kind of like the Rom pick myself, because as you were just saying, like 11-1 versus plus 260. I mean, we've seen Rom jump out to big leads in tournaments, and I think his actually first round scoring average actually might right now be the best on tour. So why the hell not? You mentioned wind there, Uncle David. We usually go ahead and we talk a little bit about the weather before we go ahead and start out the podcast. Now you mentioned the high elevation there in Mexico. Have you heard any crazy weather updates coming up for this week or anything that we should be alerted about?
No, I mean, I looked at it. It shouldn't be a factor all week. I mean, there might be some moderate, I say moderate, like 14-mile-an-hour winds on Sunday, but otherwise fine. Maybe a few showers on Thursday, but no, it looks like we might not have a weather issue at all this week. So, having said that, I was wrong when I thought Harbortown might go to Monday, but they accommodated that by going off in threesomes on Saturday and Sunday. But I don't think we'll see any of that BS this week. I think it'll be the first one in a while that weather hasn't affected.
Yeah, it's been challenging the last couple of tournaments with the weather, trying to get your picks and everything in order. So hopefully weather won't be an issue this week. My first round leader there, Uncle Dave, I'm going to take Steven Yeager at 50-1. He finished great here last year with a T15 finish. But what I like about him most, and if you take all the guys in this tournament, when you talk about first round scoring average, as I just did, he's like third best. Yeager hasn't been bad. He's made the cut in four of his last five events. He is coming off of a cut at the RBC, and he took a full week off. So I believe he probably comes in here a little bit motivated, maybe a little bit salty after the RBC, but probably confident in a T15 finish here last year. So at 50-1, I like his chances to be first round leader. So I'll go ahead, I'll do that. Uncle Dave, I did not have a make and miss the cut wager, but what I do have is I have a specialty prop here. So you guys got to go over to DraftKings, and this can only be found at DraftKings. And this is a top 10 finish parlay. And it's going to be John Rahm and Gary Woodland, both to finish inside the top 10 at plus 380. Rahm is minus 300 to go ahead and land inside the top 10. And Gary Woodland's plus 260 to land inside the top 10. So, yeah, we might get juiced just a little bit here on the parlay price, but I don't actually think it's all that bad. Woodland's like the fourth favorite to go ahead and win this thing, and Rahm is the favorite. I think this is probably about as good as a bet as we can make when we're talking plus 380 versus trying to find a make and miss the cut guy at plus 380. So I actually like this wager there, Uncle Dave. So it's a top 10 finish parlay. Only at DraftKings you can get this. John Rahm and Gary Woodland, both to finish inside the top 10 at plus 380. So there's a specialty prop for you guys. Not sure if we have make and miss the cut or anything crazy there, Uncle Dave, but that's what I'm giving out there.
No, I'm not gonna give out anything crazy here at all. Well, actually, they all might be crazy at some point, but no, I don't have any make or miss the cuts. I mean, in this field, it's a total crapshoot. I mean, I'm sure you can find some guys. If I were gonna do make or miss the cuts, I would go down to the guys that are like, 100-1 or 300-1 to win, and play them to make the cut. There would probably be some opportunities. I mean, you look down the board and, guys like Ted Potter and Ben Crane, those kind of guys that are just kind of Kevin Stadler, just kind of hanging on. If you can find props on those guys to make the cut, those are probably the best bets. But I'm talking out both sides of my mouth because I didn't make any.
There's nothing wrong with that, and I agree with you too. I think this is an opportunity probably for some. And look, again, maybe check out our Twitter accounts. Maybe Uncle Dave and I'll go ahead and find something. Maybe we find one of those real low tier type of guys that has done really, really well here, and we just haven't gotten that type of work done yet. But certainly make sure you check out our Twitters at SleepyJ underscore pregame at Dave underscore Essler for any other make and miss the cut wagers there. Uncle Dave, let's jump into head to heads here. Let me go ahead and give you my first one. And it's funny that you just brought up like the make and miss the cut thing, because the guy I'm going to fade here was actually a consideration and a plus 380. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and play that parlay instead of trying to fade this guy because he's pretty good. But I am going to go ahead. I'm going to play Alex Smalley minus 120 over Emiliano Grillo. This is not necessarily a fade of Grillo. It's more of a fade on the situation for him that occurs next week. Grillo has been really good at the Wells Fargo, and that's a tournament that's coming up next week. And we talk about this sometimes where, you get a tournament prior to the major where it could be a potential walkthrough for a guy. And I have a feeling that this could be a potential walkthrough for Emiliano Grillo. And he's made the cut every time that he's been at the Wells Fargo. And he was T9, T14 the last 2 years there. A nice hefty paycheck for him versus probably what he's could potentially get here at the Mexico Open. Smalley, he almost won this thing here last year, T6. So I think he comes in here motivated, probably a little bit more focused than Grillo is. So I'm going to go ahead and play that Uncle Dave as my head-to-head. Alex Smalley minus 120 over Emiliano Grillo. That's what I got for my head-to-heads. What do you got?
You brought up Wells Fargo, and that is one of the few designated events, big purse events this year. So that field might not be as forgiving to some of these people as it has been in the past. But let's just get into that next week. Yeah, I took Brandon Wu over Robbie Shelton, Sleepy. I had Brandon Wu like all over the place. I wanted to put him here, I wanted to put him there, I thought about taking him to win. And then I kept seeing things that were like, no, I don't think so, I don't think so. But I didn't want to leave him off my card because I do think he has the potential to do really well. So Brandon Wu over Robbie Shelton.
Good stuff on those. Those would be the head-to-heads. Let's jump in through some top 40s and top fives. Uncle Dave, I got a top five. I don't know if this is necessarily a stretch, but I'm going to go ahead and play Pat and Kizire at 16 to 1 to land inside the top five. Kizire has never been here before, but in a field this week, I think some of these upper echelon type of golfers, stand a chance at a pretty good finish. Now, Kizire, he's made the cut in five straight events and he's looked good. At least decent enough for a pretty good stretch of time. Now, like I said, there's not many top name golfers in the field right now, but I feel like the way that he's been golfing, the way that his stats have looked, that he's probably on one of the better runs that he's had this entire season. So it's 16 to 1 for a guy like Patton Kizire in this type of field. I figure why not? I think it's going to be hard for us to hit some big tickets maybe potentially this week. I feel like this might be one that we could probably just go ahead and stick in our pocket. So Patton Kizire, top five, 16 to 1. That's all I have for my top 40s through top fives, Uncle Dave. I still have some more work to do on this, but that's the one that I like the most so far.
Yeah, I kind of like Kazire too. I thought about using him. I don't really remember why, but he was on my short list, so I can't argue that one. As usual, I got a bunch of top guys, and quite frankly, that's been my bread and butter. So let's get it started. Tony Finau, top 10, minus 110. The guy's the second favorite, and there really is no third favorite. It's him and Rom, and I think he's going to be everybody's sexy pick to beat Rom, and he may well. But here we're only asking him to finish 10th in a field that has nine top 100 players in it, and he finished second here last year, which was the only time they've actually played this course. So I do think we want to steer more near players who've been here before. It's the high altitude that might kill some of these guys that don't take it seriously. So I'm going to also find someone who's from Colorado or Wyoming, like a guy like Wyndham Clark. So let's go, Wyndham Clark, top 20 minus 115. And to be honest, I had him on my list to use somewhere else before I knew he was from Colorado. So I'm not going to overthink this one. He is the third favorite to win. So all we really need him to do is simply compete for 4 days. He's also a big hitter, which is that's going to help this week in that wind. And I think you'll find that the roughs aren't that forgiving. So straightness isn't as important as length here. I'm also taking my boy Bryce Garnett, and I wanted to take him top 40, but I can't find those yet, and I get it. The books are not going to expose themselves. So I'm just going ahead and take him top 20 at 16 to 1. Bryce loves Mexico. His only career win was in Mexico, and he was T8 at the Punta Cana Championship a month ago. And he played here last year and finished 33rd. So I think there's my dark horse. I'm also going to hop on one of your guys, Alex Smalley. So we were in agreement there. I mean, he was sixth last year, and arguably it was a much better field last year. It's weaker because it's not a designated event. And he has not been playing well. So I may be a lone wolf out there, or you and I may be lone wolves out there. I mean, he's one of those guys who's another one that does everything well except putt. But having been here and done well, I think I can trust him at plus money. Lastly, Matt Wallace, top 20 plus 240, as another guy that's not playing well, but he won in Mexico earlier this season. There's another guy that struggles with a flat stick. So, that's why top 20 is the ceiling for me. His big advantage is being seventh in shots gained around the green. And that alone could save a handful of strokes over a couple of days. But not having been here might make this one of the ones that I'm betting that you might not. But I do like Matt Wallace, top 20 at plus 140. And that's where my top guys end for now. I do like a few others, and like last week, I may put them out on Twitter. And actually, I was pretty proud of last week, not only that I hit Nick Hardy and Davis Riley to win, but I had said, I don't know if it was on the Twitter or where you and I were talking, that I would fade most of the guys that had played in the Masters and in Harbortown, regardless of how good they were. And we saw that was the case big time. I mean, the only elite guys that were in it was Cantlay and Shoffley, and of course they fell down the stretch. So, maybe getting a little tired. So I was actually pretty happy to have a good read on that one. But I don't have any more, Sleepy. So if you got more, fire away.
All right. I don't have any more, but I do have a question for you there, Uncle Dave, because you mentioned two guys that I thought about that I saw. One was Matt Wallace. I decided to go ahead and pass. I used him not that long ago, but I do want to ask you a question about like Bryce Garnett. Like I know you know him specifically, but you know other golfers that are on this tour. And my question to you is like this is a job, right? This is what these guys do for a living. This is how they pay their bills. This is how they go on vacation and all that stuff like that. Do you think that, like, let's just say, like a guy like Bryce Garnett, or maybe like a guy like a Matt Wallace? I'm not talking like John Rahm or anything like that. But do you think that, like, those guys specifically peg certain tournaments to say, here is where I make my bread and butter, for my living? Is this a tournament that you would say, maybe like a Bryce Garnett says, you know what? I have eight specific tournaments for throughout the year that I need to go there. I need to perform well. I know the course. I know everything that I need to know. There should be no reason I don't go get a paycheck here. And that's kind of what they're depending on. Have you ever had like conversations like that in
Yeah,
specific?
absolutely. I mean, and it's probably more so now than in previous years because, I mean, Bryce loves Harbortown. He usually does pretty well there, and that's a great course for him because, he's a shot maker and a putter, and he's not long. But he didn't get in because it was a designated event, and he wasn't inside the top 125. So he was a little, he loves that course. He was a little not happy about that. But now that you have the designated events in the majors, that some of these sort of, we'll call them journeymen for lack of a better word, they need to do well in those eight events or whatever number they have, because they need to keep their card. I mean, that's going to make it, the fields are going to be weaker, but they don't have any choice but to do well if they want to get inside whatever the number is anymore. For having your card for next year or the next following year, assuming you don't win a tournament, because then you get exemption for a little bit. But that is definitely a big thing and getting bigger. I mean, it used to be before they would play all of them and, hopefully scrape up enough top 20s and top 40s to, maybe make the FedEx tournament. But I don't think that's much the case anymore. I mean, because what the PGA did, obviously, to compete with LIV, is they've actually made kind of two groups of golfers here. The haves and the have-nots, and unfortunately, we have the have-nots here, except for Finau and Rahm. And I wonder if Rahm hadn't won this year, last year, and been the defending champ, if he'd have gone back. Who's to say? I mean, if he doesn't win this year, we'll make a bet right now that he doesn't play next year.
Right. And I was thinking the same thing too. So that's probably going to be an interesting conversation when we get to our winners. Let me go ahead and give you a nationality prop there, Uncle Dave. I'm going to play top Australian. I'm going to go ahead and play Aaron Baddeley at plus 180. He's really the only Aussie with experience here at this course. Now, he was cut here, but at times I think that experience might not matter. This field is not exactly strong. The only competition I feel that he has is probably Cameron Piercy, but he hasn't been here. So, I'm going right back to the experience thing where maybe it does matter. Other than that, the only other guys on the list for Australians are just a bunch of no-name golfers that we typically never see. I feel like plus 180 isn't actually bad of a price here, considering the field and Baddeley having the only real experience here. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play him as my top Australian, Aaron Baddeley at plus 180. So with that out of the way there, Uncle Dave, now we can go ahead and get into our winners. I'll go first. I'm going to take Tony. I'll take Finau plus 750.
There you go. There's the sexy pick.
Right. He's clearly the
Yeah,
next best golfer when you look at this entire list. Like who are people going to pick? Are they going to pick Rom? Are they going to pick Finau?
right.
Well, in my opinion, I have to go back to what Uncle Dave just said. Does John Rahm even want to make a does he even want to make a trip here next year? Because if he wins again, then he's a two-time champion. And the Wells Fargo is next week. Could Rom treat this as more of a walkthrough type of thing? And I think Finau comes in here thinking, I can knock out a win and make a lot of money here. And that's just kind of my thought. I think Finau is live, certainly for this one. The pricing for this is what, Rom plus 250, 260, Tony at plus 750. It's saying that Rom is like a monster favorite if you were just to go ahead and look at this as a head-to-head. And I'm not sure that, Rom would be any greater than like maybe minus 210, minus 240 at best. So I'm getting an extra 5-1 here on Tony Finau. So give me Finau plus 750. And I have one more and I'll save him. But Uncle Dave, I think I'm going to definitely pull the trigger here on Tony Finau plus 750.
Yeah, I only have one right now, and I'll probably end up putting any more out on Twitter. But to your point about Rahm, I totally agree with you and your reasoning for taking Finau. And I wonder if Rahm would go through the motions looking at the Wells Fargo. But I don't think Rahm does that. He's almost like, I don't want to say he's like Tiger Woods, but he's in. He when he enters tournaments, he plays to win. So I don't see him like not making the cut and shooting four over and not even being in the top 10, because that's just not his MO. But let's go to my winner. And this is a guy you've used before, and I don't know that I ever have. Patrick Rogers at 28-1, because I have Woodland from earlier, so actually I have two. Rogers was 10th there last year, so we have a historical performance of 1 year, but only nine other golfers can say that they played in this and finished top 10, because the last year was year number one. He's still looking for his first win, which is always a concern of mine, but this would be a tournament where you could get it because of the weaker field. But he seems to be on the uptick a little bit. He had a fifth at the Valero and a 19th at Harbortown, which is actually the 19th at Harbortown is actually pretty impressive for someone that's a long hitter on that particular course. So I think he probably played better than 19th. He's 33rd in shots gained total, and he's not a bad putter. I mean, if he doesn't miss fairways, if he does miss fairways, which sometimes he can do, as I said earlier, the rough isn't too punishing. So I think my McDonald's value meal for this one is Patrick Rogers at 28-1.
All right, I'm going to give out a bomber here, Uncle Dave, and I wouldn't necessarily say it's a bomber. I'll say that you mentioned his name and I mentioned his name, so I'm going to go ahead and give out Alex Smalley at 50-1. No other reason than this guy was here once in his career and finished T6. And if you take a look at like a lot of the lesser tournaments, this guy always seems to show up at like the top of the leaderboard. And like I just mentioned, do some of these guys go out there and view this as, their job? Like, let's get to these smaller type tournaments. But I also wonder, the fact that this guy was here once and the fact that he ended up finishing T6, is this just a course that just suits him well? Everything. Maybe it's, putting the greens, everything sets up, playing out of the rough, whatever it might be, the elevation, I don't know. But, being here once and finishing T6, there has to be something there. So I think Alex Smalley at 50-1 is certainly worth a look. Like I said, a lot of these smaller tournaments, this guy always seems to be at like the top of the leaderboard. And look, if Finau and Rahm aren't taking this exactly serious, and one of the things you said there, Uncle Dave, that kind of made me think is like, in a field this week, John Rahm doesn't have to go out there and play his best golf. He can go out there and screw around and win this tournament. So I don't think Alex Smalley's going to take any. He's not going to screw around with this one. I think this guy's going out there to go ahead and try to win this thing. So 50-1, Alex Smalley. I'll go ahead and I'll take the plunge.
I don't disagree with that, Sleepy. I mean, for edification, the way I look at things is I write down 8 or 10 guys that I know I'm going to use somewhere. And they could easily be guys I picked to win. And Smalley was on that list. I just stuck him somewhere else. But, anybody that I give out is somebody that I think can win. So I don't think that's as much of a flyer as maybe some people might think. I can see that bet.
I love when we do that too, Uncle Dave. It's like, you sit and you have a card and I have a card, and it's like you're saying, like a lot of these guys we think can win, but we can't go out there and give out, 20 winners and then sit there and pound our chest every week when we pick the winner. I mean, it's not that hard when, you got two guys giving out 20 guys each to go ahead and win. It's like, yeah, we picked
And
about
people do
30
that.
guys. And some do, but that's not what we do. But
No.
because we don't want to overexpose our people. But yeah, Alex Smalley, 50-1. I kind of like that one. So that'll wrap it up for this week, guys. Again, Uncle Dave and I, check us out on Twitter at SleepyJ underscore pregame at Dave underscore S. So if we have anything extra, we'll go ahead, we'll put that out there. We'll get ready to rock and roll for the Wells Fargo next week. Hopefully you guys went ahead, followed Uncle Dave and cashed that nice big ticket. Good job there, Uncle Dave. That was cool, especially for a week off. But now we're in like, we're in the stretch run now. So you guys will get me and Uncle Dave all the way through. All the way to the end of August until we get to the tour championship. And then, we'll probably have 1 week off. And I'm guessing that'll probably be when, the Barracuda comes around, which is usually what Uncle Dave and I usually do. So, with that said, I'd like to wish you guys all the best of luck. Enjoy the games.